Now, would you turn in your Bible with me to Psalm 46? Psalm 46. And I want to talk this morning from verses 1, beginning with verse 1, and the A section of verse 2. This is from the New King James Version. Psalms 46, 1. Through the A section of verse 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. This is the word of God. Amen. So that's Psalms 46, verse 1, and the first line, the A section in verse 2. Psalm 46 is a go-to psalm for many believers. Early in my life, before I acknowledged my call to ministry, my grandfather, the Reverend Charles Ellis, insisted that I memorize this psalm, Psalm 46. And the reason he insisted that I memorize the psalm is because he said, when I'm challenged by the vicissitudes of life that comes with life, that I would need this psalm. And I have to admit, back then, I didn't really know what he meant, but because of my respect for him, I did memorize the psalm. I did what he asked me to do. But he never did follow up to see if I had memorized the psalm. He never did. And it wasn't until later in my life that I began to realize the true value of Psalm 46. It is a psalm that encourages us to have hope and trust in God, trust in his power, and trust in his providence, and in his gracious presence that will be with you and be with me, the church, in the worst of times. This is a psalm that directs us to give God the glory for what he has done and for what he will do. This is a go-to psalm. For any believer who was in distress or who was in dismay, and it is a reminder that God has already worked out a solution for you and for your problem. That's why he closes the psalm by saying, this is the voice of God. After the psalmist writes, the voice of God says, be still and know that I am God. And so this morning, whoever is listening to this message, like my grandfather challenged me, I want to challenge you to memorize Psalms 46. It's not that long. You can memorize it, and you will find a time in your life when because you have memorized this psalm, you will find it to be a tremendous blessing. This morning, I don't want to look at the entire psalm. I just want to spend some time talking about verse 1 and the A section of verse 2. And I hope to give some fresh insight from the Spirit of God. And I trust that you would be open and prayerfully listening to this message today. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble, or a very present help in trouble. Verse 2, therefore I will not fear. Let's begin by looking at what it means that the Lord is our refuge. It does not mean that you take shelter in your religion. This is not escapism. This is not a retreat from the world. It was never God's intent that the redeemed should separate themselves from the world and live in isolated or some desolate place, neither literally or spiritually. God never intended for his word, for our lives, to be separated, social and spiritual. Never intended. That is a heresy of the Enlightenment. God never intended for Christians to be off somewhere separated from what's going on in the world. Never intended. That is a heresy of the Enlightenment. And because of that heresy, we have those who are students of Martin Luther and the Enlightenment movement who feel that they are up above and separated from what's happening in the streets. And God never intended that to be so. And so for those of you who are living out here somewhere spiritually, unconcerned with the environment and the social movement, that is heresy. There is nothing in the Bible that ever separated the ministry of Jesus Christ, calling it spiritual or social. Social ministry emerged out of the Enlightenment, and it is a heresy. Amen. I just want to make that clear to the members of Union Baptist Church. Those of you who are reformed in your theology, you need to go back, revisit your theology, because there is no such thing as social gospel. No such thing as social ministry. It's just ministry. It's just gospel. And God never intended that it should be separated. Amen. Amen. God is our refuge. It does not mean that you are escaped from the world. As a matter of fact, Jesus prayed in John 17 what is called the high priestly prayer. It was a prayer of intercession on behalf of his disciples, then and now, us. He prays to the Father using these words, and I quote, "I do not pray that you should take them," meaning his disciples, "out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." Does that sound like separation? Does that sound like God is wanting his saints to be somewhere over here and let the world go to hell in the handbag down there? No, he wants us to be in the world. That's why he calls us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are to be in the world. God is our refuge while we are in the world. We are not like the church in the upper room before Pentecost, where they were gathered together for fear of the Jews and for those who had crucified Christ, but rather we are like the church after Pentecost, filled with power from the Holy Ghost and called to be witnesses of the gospel of God in the world. God is our refuge. A refuge is a place. It's a location. The New Testament says that that place, that location for you and I, for disciples, is in Christ. To be in Christ is to be in refuge. It is to be positioned before God in right standing. It means to be baptized in Christ, which makes you a member of his body, the church, while you remain in the world on planet Earth. For those of us who believe that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and on the third day God raised him from the dead, it is by the grace of God that we have God as our refuge. The refuge is a spiritual place, an invisible kingdom that was even before Genesis 1:1. Before God created the heavens and the earth, his kingdom was. Before God shaped man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the kingdom of God, that invisible kingdom, already thrived. And so taking refuge is not escapism. Taking refuge is a strategic spiritual move. It is acknowledging afresh that God is participating with you and in you as you live from day to day. That God is aware of your situation and that God knows what you need. Taking refuge in God is not necessarily hiding in fear. It's finding a place where you trust in God, shelter as God shelters you from the bombardment of the evil one. It is deliberate. It is intentional. Prayerfully situating yourself in Christ to be enabled, to be enlightened, to be encouraged, and to be empowered. And that's what you get when the Lord is your refuge, when your faith in God settles you in God, and you receive the resources of heaven. You are enabled, you are enlightened, you are encouraged, you are empowered to participate in the world. In your refuge, who is Christ, first of all, you are enabled. You are enabled by his grace. Just when you thought you couldn't stand under the pressures of life, you discovered that he has more grace sufficient for your needs. Amen? Somebody knows what I'm talking about. This grace gives you what had been depleted in your spirit. And God knows we are living in times when you can become spiritually depleted very quickly. But thank God, when you find refuge in him, he enables you. The grace recharges your faith in God. This grace enables you so that you can, in this world, in your present situation, reflect God's faithfulness to you. Isn't it a wonderful thing to walk around today confident that God is able, that God is faithful? The reason you can walk with confidence is because God enables you to do so. His presence with you and whatever your situation you're going through helps you to deal with whatever you're dealing with. And it is his grace that enables you to be faithful and obedient and patient and loving and forgiveness and merciful, even when you're not receiving that from the world. He enables you. But then in our refuge, we are enlightened. Now, we need to be careful with that word. So we look to Psalms 13. We take a psalm to help us to understand a psalm. In Psalm 13, there David is praying in desperation. As he finds refuge in God, he prayed. David had the wisdom to know that though he felt powerless, what he was seeing with his physical eyes was not the true reality. His vision was clouded and dark, and so he cried out from his place of refuge, "Lord, enlighten my eyes." And see, what he's asking for there is spiritual perspective of his situation. He wanted to know what God thought. What was God doing in his present situation? And that's what we need to do as well. Ask God to help you to trust him first, and then ask God to open your eyes to see what he's doing, to give you a spiritual perspective of what's going on in your life, what's going on in your family, what's going on in this country. And then ask God to help me to remember that all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We can call on God and pray like Moses, "Lord, let me see your glory," to see God's glory, to look upon his glory as it is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we see Jesus and we bow in the presence of God with our humble submission, we ask God to touch my mind and renew my thinking. God, touch my emotions and keep me stable. God, open my eyes that I may see. Enlighten me. Amen. You need to see things from God's perspective, to look at it from on high, to get a bird's eye view of what's going on. Sometimes you can be too close to the forest to see the trees. You'd have to back off of this thing. And you can only do that if God is your refuge and if he gives you the vision to see. But not only in our refuge are we enabled and enlightened, we are encouraged. My brothers and sisters, we are encouraged in at least two ways. First, we are encouraged through the word of God But secondly, and just as important, we are encouraged by our witness to one another. Jesus left words of encouragement in the upper room from the same passage of scripture that he prays for us in the world. He said to his disciples and us, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And for me, my brothers and sisters, that's encouraging. He didn't say, "I will overcome the world." He didn't say, "At some time in the future, I will overcome the world." No, he uses the present perfect tense. He says, "I have overcome the world." We are already in the midst of a refuge that's an overcomer. I have overcome the world. We are enabled, we are enlightened, we are encouraged, and we are empowered to do his will. We are empowered to finish the course that God has set us on. We are empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit, who takes up his permanent residency in our heart. And we are empowered to be witnesses in the world. Amen. The Bible teaches us to encourage one another. Our ministry is to encourage one another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says this: "Therefore, encourage one another." He's talking to Christians. He's talking to us, you and I. "Encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So he is commending the Thessalonians for building each other up. Is God commending us for encouraging one another, for building one another up? Y'all, the world tears us down every time it gets a chance. As soon as you step out your door, the bombardment, the discouragement rushes upon you. And what we need when we take refuge with those of us who are like-minded, those of us who make up the body of Christ, we should use our words to encourage one another. Stop criticizing. Stop finding fault. We all got fault. We all have our blind spots. Nobody is perfect. We ought to be encouragers, especially in our community. My brothers and sisters, can I just talk to us for a minute? Because nobody can tear us down like we can tear us down. We can't hold it in. And now that we got Facebook and other places to register our disapproval for one another, we do it every day, all day. Wisdom is keeping your opinion to yourself. We don't have to say everything that comes to our mind. And you don't have to blog everything that comes to your mind. You don't have to post everything that comes to your mind, especially when we are tearing each other down. Let me move on from there. We ought to be encouraging one another. Say something that's more hopeful. Say something that helps people to make good decisions. Say something that builds confidence. Amen. In our refuge, that's what we need. We want to move to this next section. God is our refuge and our strength. You see that? The word strength is what we want to focus on here. Strength is used to express confidence in God, who has demonstrated that when we are weakest, he is the one who can move in and change our circumstances. Amen. That when we entered something beyond our control, beyond our ability, we see that God can move in and take over. This word was first used by Moses in Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. And it's important, and I want to use this as an illustration, because you may remember that in Exodus chapter 14, Israel had been liberated from their bondage in Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt with a strong hand, the 10 plagues. You remember that. And when they exited, they took all of their belongings and they went out. And a few days later, they came to the Red Sea. What they discovered is that Pharaoh's armies was behind them. There were mountains to their mountain ranges to their left and to their right, so they were boxed in. They had no observable way out. They were closed in by mountains, the Red Sea in front of them. Pharaoh's military might coming to take them back into captivity, so they prayed. The Bible says that Moses prayed and God opened the Red Sea so that Israel crossed over, but the Egyptian army was drowned. That's chapter 14. In chapter 15 of Exodus, Moses celebrates the victory with these words. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has been thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. My father's God, I will exalt him, end quote. So you can look at your own life and identify those times when the Lord has been your strength. Can you not? When the Lord did for you what you could not do for yourself. When the Lord did for you what your hands were unable to do. Some things came to pass in your life that are supernatural. Only God could have worked it out that way. The same God who strengthened you then will strengthen you now, because he does not change. He is immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord who was your strength back then is your strength right now. The Lord is my strength. Amen. When I am weak, that's when he is strong. When I run out of resources, that's when he takes over. Amen. When I come to the end of me, that's when I can see God. The Lord is my strength. Somebody right now is at the end of your strength. Somebody right now, you don't know if you can take anymore. You are filled with distress, disappointment, and discouragement, and you're ready to throw in the towel. If you are a believer, if you are a child of God, you need to understand that it's not over, that God will move in God's own time. You just have to wait for him. You can't tell God when to show up, but what I've discovered from my experience is that when he does show up, he's never late. And when he shows up, he has everything you need, so hold on. You got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. He will not leave you. He has not left you. And he will not forsake you. The Lord is my strength. Amen. Look, the Lord, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. A very help. He is a very present help. He is the one that you can run to and ask for help anytime, any day, anywhere, amen, for any purpose that you might need. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too simple for God. He is not just a present help. He is a very present help, amen. His presence is complete and absolute. That's what it means. Very describes his presence, which means when he shows up, that he is present. He is a very present. He comes with all that he is. He comes with all of his power. He comes with all of his presence. God is never partially there. He is never slightly present. He is always very present. That ought to be a word of encouragement for you today, that God is a very present help in times of trouble. He is there with all the resources you need. Amen. Amen. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but later on in the song, it says the Lord is the host of heaven's army. Now, I know y'all happy with that you got a guardian angel. You know, I know you talk about a guardian angel overlooking you, guardian angel over your shoulder. But let me tell you something about that. Why would you want a guardian angel when you got the Lord of hosts? I got the Lord of angels, the God of angels. So let the angels do what they're supposed to do, but the Lord of hosts is watching over me. Come on, say amen right there. Amen, amen. The Lord of, he's a very present hurt. Now, God is our refuge. God is our strength. A very present help in times of trouble. You got that? Christ is with me. God is my refuge. God is my strength. When I am weak, he is strong. He is a very present. He comes with all his power. Therefore, I will not be afraid. Y'all got that? I will not be paralyzed by fear. I will not allow fear to take control of my life. I will not wake up in the morning full of fear, live all day full of fear, and then go to bed at night full of fear and have fearful dreams. I will not fear. I will not bow to fear. I will be cautious. I will be concerned. I will be careful, but I will not fear. I may have to cry sometime, but I'm still trusting in God, even in the midst of my tears. I might have to suffer hardship, but I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand in the midst of my fears. I will use common sense. I will ask God for wisdom through cataclysmic events, but God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. I will not fear threatening natural disasters. I will not fear poison political situations. I will not fear a presidential outcome. I will not fear economic uncertainty. I will not fear in the midst of a raging pandemic, because God is my refuge and God is my strength, a very present help in times of trouble. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a strong mind. Amen. The songwriter said, harder yet may be the fight. Right might often yield to might. Wickedness a while may reign. Satan's cause may seem to gain. But there is a God who rules above with hand of power and a heart of love. And if I'm right, he'll fight my battles and I will be peace. I will have peace someday. I do not know how long 'twill be or what the future holds for me. But this I know, if Jesus leads me, I shall get home someday. The psalmist said, I do not know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies might turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, but I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside him, for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds the future, and I know who holds my hand. Somebody say amen. Say amen again. Say amen again. If you believe the word of God, wherever you are right now, just wave your hands in the air. Hold to his hand. Hold to his hand. Hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand. Hold on, y'all. Hold on. We're just passing through. There's bright sunshine, at the end of it all. Let me say this and I'm finished. I was speaking with one of our dear members on yesterday and got a witness. She told me how she was driving up north toward Montreal and she came to a patch of fog and she drove through the fog for about an hour. She said the fog lasted so long that she just got comfortable in the fog. And then suddenly she drove out of the fog into the bright sunshine. And she said she realized then that driving through the fog, you can get comfortable in the fog, but you need to understand that the fog comes to the end and there's bright sunshine after that. Y'all, we are driving through the fog right now, but I know that there is a bright sunshine just in a few days. You just gotta hold on to God's unchanging hand. Come on, give God some praise.